good. Okay. This morning, I am going to do part of the healing course here. And I haven't done a healing message for a while, and also I believe that this one is particularly apropos for us. There are, I couldn't even believe that how many messages I did. This time I started from scratch and gathered information from all kinds of people, and I realized that prior to Christmas, I did eight messages on it, and since Christmas, last night was number 3, today will be 4, and I will have one more, so that's a total of 13. I believe that these messages on healing will be very helpful, very helpful, and feel like they're my legacy to the church. That the area of healing is not about to go away. You know, the need for it is ever increasing. And we look at the healthcare system and it's not doing well. You know, the needs are far exceed what's available. And it's just going to continue to get worse. I was telling last night how my wife's cousin was in Florida on holidays and she had a brain aneurysm happen. So she was rushed to the hospital and it appears that she's going to pull through. She had an operation, but she will be in the hospital for at least 3 weeks. And the estimation for the bill is somewhere in the $500,000 range. That's a lot of money. A lot of money. So I'm hoping they have insurance. But our insurance is in Christ. Is in Christ. Jesus is my healer. Jesus is my healer. Jesus is my healer. So this morning, I'm going to do the 8 laws in the second part. So I'm going to do 6 and 7. And that is, number 6 would be, when the healing power of God is administered, you may or you may not feel it. The fact that you feel something or don't feel something is irrelevant. It's irrelevant. Because sometimes the person laying hands on you may feel the anointing go through his hands or her hands, but typically not. I've had it where I have felt it, and many times when I have not. And sometimes when I have felt absolutely nothing, I've seen remarkable results where God has just completely healed the person. Equally, the person being ministered to may feel the anointing going in, or they may not. It doesn't make a bit of difference. The Bible does not talk about feelings and emotions and those kind of things. There's only one recorded instance that I'm aware of in the New Testament when Jesus said that he felt the power going out of him. And we know where that is, right? Mark chapter 5, the woman with the issue of blood. He felt it. He knew that someone had drawn on his power. But typically when Jesus ministered to someone, there's no mention of feeling the power going out or of feeling the power going into a person. He doesn't talk about it. That's not to say that there were never any instances like that, but the fact is the Bible does not mention it. So if it doesn't mention it, it can't be that important. If in order to believe, you depend on your feelings, that you've had to feel something when you receive ministry, the devil makes sure you never feel anything. And you'll always be thinking, why am I not getting something? But feelings have little to nothing to do with believing or receiving God's healing power. Mark chapter 16 says, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It does not say if you feel the power going in, consider yourself healed. Now, sometimes people do feel it. And if you do, well, praise God and God bless you. But don't allow your feelings to rob what could be a wonderful manifestation of God's grace in your body. Amen? That's all I'm going to say about that one. Number 7 is the healing power, and this is the focus for today. The healing power of God can be in you and yet lie dormant or inactive within you. And I'm going to take an approach today that I've never done before. So don't turn me off yet. This is a new approach to the healing power of God. You and I, each one of us, have a part to play if the power of God is going to manifest healing in your body once it's been administered. As we talk about healing today, I absolutely assure you that God's healing power becomes available. It becomes available. When you talk about it, it becomes available. And people who have the healing power administered to them must be aware of the fact that that power has the ability to lie dormant within. And I'm going to prove that to you today, you'll see. In other words, just because the healing power has been administered to your body, that does not in and of itself guarantee that you will be healed. In much the same way, a person can have the call of God on them to be a pastor, a teacher, or something else, but they never do anything with it, and so they have never answered that call. Never gone into ministry. But I'm telling you, the call of God never goes away. It does not say, well, they're not interested, so off I go. How do we know that? Anywhere in the Bible where that might be mentioned? Romans, maybe? Chapter 11, perhaps? Maybe verse 29? For the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. What does that mean? The gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. That means He doesn't take it back. God does not take it back. Once He's called you or once He's given you a gift, God doesn't take that back. Now, that does not mean, by the way, that you can live any way you like and still enjoy all kinds of anointing and so forth. We have a role to play in order for those callings or gifts to be manifested in our lives. And if we don't cooperate, it will be very little. But the calling itself, or the gift itself, does not go away. God does not give and take back. We used to have an expression years ago called an Indian giver. Anyone ever heard of that? Any idea why they say that? I never figured out why they said that. Because I've never heard anything about it. Has anyone ever heard anything about it? No, I. Okay. Well, God, when He gives us something, He gives us something. This means that a person can have the call of God upon their lives, and yet that call can lie within them dormant or inactive all of their lives. A call from God on your life or a gift from God into your life does not manifest itself just because it's present. That's incredibly important, because the same thing applies to the healing power. It can be in you and absolutely lie dormant and inactive. It does not manifest itself just because it's in your body. So let's look at some proof for this now. First we'll go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and look at verse 14. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 14. Paul is speaking to him and he says to Timothy, "Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Don't neglect the gift. Paul is encouraging Timothy here not to neglect the gift that God gave him, through the laying on of Paul's hands. Now, the word neglect means to ignore or to be careless of. Paul is implying here that Timothy has not given the gift the proper attention, and therefore, Timothy has caused the gift to lie within him dormant or inactive. Anybody know what the gift is? I don't know. Never says what it is. Just wondered. But whatever the gift is, most speculate it is. But actually, you know what? We really just don't know. And so the fact is that he's neglected it. And Paul implies that this neglected and ignored gift will produce nothing in or through Timothy's life until he stops neglecting it. Now that makes perfect sense. See, too often people have the mistaken idea, that once God has given somebody a gift or a calling, that God will make sure that it operates. And that's not scriptural. Because you and I have a role to play in whatever God is doing in our lives. And it will not manifest itself until we get involved with it. Paul here clearly places the responsibility on Timothy for keeping the gift active and working. The gift in and of itself does not have the ability to just work on its own. Timothy has to become involved. He has to become involved. Because when it's not, the neglected, ignored gift becomes dormant. And you'll see that that continues on, because there'll be another part coming up. So we need to understand that when God gives us something, he's not responsible to keep it working. And the gift is not responsible for keeping itself working. You and I are. We are the ones who have been given the responsibility of keeping what God gives us active and working by refusing to neglect it, by refusing to ignore it, by refusing to be careless of it. And you see, the problem is that many who have a need of healing will never benefit from the healing power of God that is already in them until they learn how to give the proper attention to this healing gift inside, to get it active and working. And fortunately, this morning I'm going to cover that. So we'll know how to do that once it's been obtained. There is something we can do. I'll get to that after. So, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. See, the first time that he spoke to him, that Paul spoke to Timothy, Timothy didn't get the message. He did not get the message. Does that ever happen when God speaks to you and you don't get the message? That's what happened here. This is the second time that Paul talks to Timothy about the gift that Timothy had been given through the laying on of hands. Now, this time, Paul uses a stronger language to Timothy. Instead of saying, "Don't neglect the gift," he says, let's read, "Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands." Stir up the gift of God. Stir up the gift of God. What's the difference between do not neglect and stir up the gift? In your mind, what is the difference between those two statements? Anyone?
one is positive and the other one is negative, like don't and do. I don't know if that makes sense.
Stir up is an action.
One is gentle, you know, like, don't neglect this. Stir up is a little bit like, stir it up. Do something with it. Do something. As opposed to, well, just don't neglect it. You know, now don't neglect it. It's quite different from stirring it up. That's quite a strong language for him. Timothy is told that the gift in him needs to be stirred up. Now, why is that? Why is that, do you think? It needs to be stirred up. He's not doing anything with it. The gift which was given to him, and we don't know how long ago it was, we can assume it's been a while, it's in him. It's in him. But he hasn't done anything with it. He hasn't done anything with it. Or if he has, he's done very little. I don't think he's done much. Paul says don't neglect it. Neglect it means you haven't done anything with it. And stir it up. Well, that just sounds a little bit tougher. Now, you know, interesting, Paul here did not tell Timothy to pray and ask God to stir up the gift. Isn't that interesting? He doesn't say, now look, Timothy, I want you to pray and ask God to stir up the gift that he gave you. He doesn't do that. Once God gives you something, it's yours. It's yours. From that point on, it's yours. What you do with it is up to you. It's up to you, not up to God. It's up to you. Interesting, isn't it? If you neglect it, ignore it, or fail to stir it up, there's nothing God's going to do to cause that gift to become active and productive in you. Now, is that a revelation to us? It was. You know, it's amazing. You know, we read this, and all the years I've been teaching healing, I never saw that till recently. And I think that's because this time I started right from scratch, acting as if I didn't have any previous packages ready. And it was wonderful to do that because God opened this up to me, realizing that it's not up to him to decide what I will do with whatever gift he's given me. Whether it be a gift of being a pastor, a teacher, or the gifts of healings, or whatever it is that God has given, once he's given it, it's now up to me to do something with it. If I want it to be productive, I have to do something. Because just like the gift here for Timothy, whatever it is, the healing power of God will lie within you dormant until you choose to stir it up. Until you do. You do. I was telling them this morning that I felt recently a bit chastised by God because 30 years ago, God told me to put his healing power in my hands. And I saw lots of people healed for a number of years. But over the years, I've kind of not paid the attention to it that I should have. And consequently, I haven't seen anywhere near the same kind of results. I felt God saying to me, stir it up, stir it up. You stir it up, not somebody else for you, you stir it up. Because it doesn't evaporate and it doesn't dissipate after a certain period of time. It's still there, waiting. But if we choose to allow the healing power of God to remain inactive in us, once it's been administered to our bodies, then we will continue to be dominated by sickness. Isn't that an interesting thought, eh? However, the moment that you stir up the healing power inside of you, you make it active. And it begins to start working to drive sickness out of your body, and you begin to recover. You begin to recover. you begin to recover. How do we do that? How do we do that? You know, how do we do that? Well, that's a good question. So let's see what he says to do. When he says to Timothy, don't neglect the gift, stir it up, he gives him some thoughts here. 1 Timothy chapter 4, he's talking about here, don't neglect the gift. So verse 15, he says, meditate on these things. Meditate on them. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Meditate on these things, give yourself wholly to them. What does that mean? Meditate on God's healing power that is working inside of you. Meditate on it. Meditate on it. Give yourself entirely to the reality that God's miracle working power is active and working inside of you. See, meditation and giving yourself here, giving yourself wholly to the gift received, are the means by which we keep ourselves from neglecting the gift. That's how you don't neglect it. And Timothy was told to do these two things after the gift had been given to him. He was not told to do these two things in order to obtain the gift, but after. And it doesn't matter what the gift is. It could be a gift of being worship leader. Whatever the gift is, you have to give yourself to it. You have to give yourself to it. Whatever portion of the Bible, these two areas, meditation and giving yourself wholly to it, are things that we do after we have received the healing power. After. So when you meditate on something, what are you doing? What do you do? What are you doing when you meditate on something? I'll make it easy for you. Someone has annoyed you and done something really irritating, and you're meditating on it. What are you doing? What are you doing?
Focusing on it.
Focusing on it. See? Rehearsing it. Focusing on it. Thinking about it. Over and over. Yeah. So we take that same principle, but now we're doing it on a scripture or on the Word of God, that God's healing power is inside of me. It's inside of me. It's working in me. God's healing power is working in me. And you begin to read the scriptures that apply to it. For I am the Lord that heals you. I am the Lord who heals you. I am the Lord. So we spend time thinking how Jesus supplied this healing power through his death, burial, resurrection, through the whipping. I mentioned, I think it was last night, that Mel Gibson did something. Why can't I remember the name of it?
The Passion.
The Passion. And I don't know how many watched it, but the whipping scene is pretty intense. Pretty intense, but it is a visual of what God endured for you and I to be healed. It's a visual, and we see that and see, by his stripes you are healed, by his stripes. So meditation is keeping it in mind. It's keeping it in mind. It's thinking about it. It's never far from your thoughts. Never far from, much the same way if someone has done something, it's never far from our thoughts. Only this is positive. This is positive. And it keeps it active. Now the second part of this, give yourself wholly to something, means that you dedicate yourself to what has been given. And you know, it's interesting, I asked God to help me, to, you know, be able to explain that. And boy, I tell you, I got a goodie. When I was wanting to be healed originally, I was desperate to be healed, to be honest with you. I did things properly without knowing I did. In other words, there was no one telling me what to do. I didn't have the scripture to, and I wouldn't have understood it anyway at that point. But I couldn't find anybody, no pastors, no friends, no elders, who would agree with me that God was healing me. In the entire city, I couldn't find one person. The only person who would agree with me was the Bible. And Smith Wigglesworth through his books. But I gave myself to this. My attention was on it. I talked about it day and night. It filled my mind all the time. I annoyed people. One person actually said to me, one of the elders said to me, John, why don't you just shut up? Now that's a quote. We are sick to death of hearing you talk about healing. If God wanted you healed, you'd be healed. And you're not. That's how annoying I was. I talked about it all the time, all the time. I said, God is working in me. God's healing power is working in me. God's healing. In fact, one time, when I think I've told the story about when I had the rosacea and I lost the healing twice, not once, I lost it twice. You have any idea how humiliating and embarrassing and devastating that is? When you don't have one person in your corner and they're kind of waiting for it to fail, and it did twice. So after, you know, weeping, moaning, and so forth, where are you going to go? It's like Peter in John 6. He says, where can I go? So you go back to the Word. And the third time that I was healed, the third time, God revealed it to my spirit. But it wasn't manifested in me. Do you understand what I mean by that? I knew in my spirit I'm now healed. But if you looked at me, I did not look healed. I was covered in this stuff. Okay? And I remember saying to Christine, I am healed. God told me I'm healed. And she said to me, you have lost your mind. You've lost your mind now. Go look in the mirror. Just go look in the mirror. And I said, I'm telling you, God's healed me. God's healed me. I know it in my spirit that God has healed me. God has healed me. And I think it took 3 days. 3 days of telling people in my church, I'm healed. Without any visual of seeing it. And then on the third day, in a second, just that fast, every symptom disappeared and I never got it again. But it took 3 days. 3 days of telling people I'm healed when every symptom was very evident. But that's what it takes to give yourself to these truths. That's why you can't pull healing out of me. I don't care what you say. You can't pull it out of me. It is so ingrained into my spirit. Jesus is my healer. Jesus is my healer. Jesus is my healer. And you know what? God did that for anyone. When Christine was in the hospital, it was not that hard to do it for her. Two are one flesh. It was like praying for yourself. God has no favorites. What you do for one, he'll do for another. But you have to pay the price. Your attention has to be fixed on what God has given you. You give yourself wholly to the manifestation, but also the reality and the truth that God has healed you, or that whatever it is that you're asking him for. If it's when you are giving yourself wholly to something, you have to talk about it to other people. It's what's on your mind all the time. You share it with others. You thank God for it. You thank God for it. Because you believe that you have received. You believe you have received. See, we're far too proud. We're far too proud. We don't want to say things just in case. And I understand that. When I lost my healing twice, that was humiliating. Humiliating. And people took great delight. Born again, spirit-filled Christians took great delight in my failure to maintain the healing. Great delight. I have been humiliated a number of times. Before, during, and since. But if you're going to break through in God, you've got to come to the place where, say, God, it's me and you. Me and you. Sink or swim. If I die, I will die believing you are my healer. And when I see you face to face, Jesus, I'm going to tell you that. I died believing you are my healer. We have to give ourselves to that. But most of us don't want to do that. We want something quick and easy. But there aren't quick and easy. The promises of God are inherited through faith and patience. Faith and patience. Sure, we'd all like to have it quick. We'd all like to. I mean, I'd like to have it too. I did not want to have to be humiliated. When my back was healed, they were going to fuse it and put me on disability. I'm just like everybody else. I said to God, great. I'll go on disability, start collecting the money. It's a good job. It's indexed for life. You don't pay tax on it at that time. You know. And then a few months later, after everybody's forgotten about me, I'll pray and get healed. And God said to me, no. You may have this, you may have that, you may not have both. Well, it was very painful. But obviously chose healing. But you know, at the moment I chose, I didn't get healed instantly. I hurt my back, I think it was in March, April. And it took 3 or 4 months. 3 or 4 months for the manifestation to become complete. During that time, there were nights when I would roll on the floor because I just couldn't sit or be anywhere because the pain was so bad. I would roll on the floor in agony saying, thank God my back is healed. Thank God my back is healed. Now Christina should give testimony to that. She watched me. I said, thank God my back is healed. It didn't feel healed. It hurt like badly. It hurt badly. It was very painful. Sometimes it hurt so bad, I would sit in a chair and bang my head against the wall to distract myself. To distract myself from the pain that was in my back. But Labor Day of that year, I moved Pastor Sid Curry. And I loaded his fridge, his stove, and his freezer onto his truck. You can't do that with a bad back. You understand what I'm saying? God is a miracle worker. And he'll do for you what he did for me or anybody else. He'll do. But you've got to stir it up inside. You've got to stir it up. You've got to be not ashamed to say, God is my healer. I have people ask me now pretty regularly about my license plate. I just started in the last year or so. And I stop and I tell them the whole story now. Now, there's a few times they kind of go and they walk away. But hey, compared to what has happened in the past, that's nothing. But a number of them say, well, I really need to think about that because I have this or I have that. God is a miracle worker. And when he gives us something, he gives it to us. When he says, I'm the Lord who heals you, the moment that was said, healing power became available in this room. The moment that was said, it was there. It is here. Whether it helps you or not is entirely dependent on you. You can even be prayed for. Have hands laid on you. And walk out just as sick as you are. Because the responsibility is in part yours. Once hands are laid on you for healing, you have to receive it. I was thinking, even Jesus, there was an instance where Jesus had to lay hands on someone twice. It was talked about it last night, I believe, where he took the man out of the town, Bethsaida. He took him out because he was blind. Well, that's not why he took him out. He took him out of the town because the town was filled with unbelief. Unbelief. And this man was influenced by the town. He was influenced by the unbelief. How do we know that? How do we know that? There's evidence for it. He had to pray for him more than once. Listen, let me tell you, if Jesus himself has to pray for you more than once, you got unbelief. I don't care who you are. If Jesus, who was anointed without measure, he had the Holy Spirit without measure, if he's got to pray for you twice, you've got issues. But he stayed with him till the man could see. He could see. Now, you look at the scriptures, what did Jesus do for this man initially before he laid hands on
him?
I don't know. Okay, what else did he do? A little louder. Yeah, he spit on him. He spit right in his eyes, the Bible says. He spit on him. When he sent the guy to go wash in the pool of Siloam, what did he do to him? He was covered with mud all over his face. Mud. And he said, I want you to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. Well, that wasn't next door. He had to walk through town. And you can see the people saying, what are you doing, Charlie? What are you doing? Well, I'm going to, wash over in the pool of Siloam. Why is your face covered in mud? Now what do you say? You see that our pride, and for us it's much, much less in the sense that we don't even want to say out loud, thank you God for healing me. We don't even want to say that. How do I know that? Because I've been saying it to you for 20 years or more. And we have a hard time saying it. We have a hard time. And it's pride. It's pride. Let's call it what it is. It's pride. But if you don't get a handle on that, you're going to inhibit and you're going to diminish the healing power of God in you. No, I'm not saying you should be screaming. I'm not talking about doing that. I'm talking about a simple acknowledgement. Thank you, Jesus. The moment hands are laid on me, I will be healed. And then when it's happened, thank God I'm healed. Thank God the healing power is working in me. Thank God it's working in me. Thank God your healing power is working in me. That's how it works. It's just that simple. And then you meditate on it. You give yourself to it. You don't have to go bang on every neighbor's door and tell them about it. But if someone asks you, don't lie. Don't pull back and say, oh, If you're ashamed of God's healing anointing in you, you're not going to get it. Not this way, anyway. Sometimes you might get it through the gifts of healing, but not this way. Now, I can't be any plainer than this. I have been as plain today as I know how to be. And the last one that I will do, which is not today, will be on how to keep it stirred up long term, which is really something we all need to do and can simply easily neglect with all the stuff going on, all the different things that are happening. Amen? So, yes?
So, healed, lose your healing, healed, lose your healing, and when you're healed the third time, you said you knew your heart was healed.
Yes. The first two times I knew because I got a manifestation of it.
Okay. But you didn't know in your heart that you knew the third time?
That's correct.
And so why do you think you lost it two times?
Because I didn't have it in my spirit. Because I got the manifestation of it, saw in the mirror it was gone, and went, wahoo, I'm healed. And went and told everybody. And then in a day or two, they came back. And I was devastated. And whiny and complaining and everything else. But then after, you know, where else are you going to go? So I went back to God and started doing the same thing over and over again. And the manifestation came the second time. And again, it was my confirmation was visual. It was visual. And I went and I waited, though. Second time, I forgot that. I waited 2-3 days. I thought, you're not getting me a second time. So I waited 2-3 days. It was still good. Then I told people. And then almost immediately after I told them, back it came. And, you know, the devil will do everything he can to discourage you. Everything he can to discourage you. Everything he can. And that's why it's so important to meditate on this stuff until it becomes real. Because in order to be able to push through the dark times, you have to know that you know that you know. And the third time, it came into my spirit because I thought, God, I know what I'm going to do. You know, but it came into my spirit, and in some ways that was the hardest, sort of, because there was no evidence of my healing. And really, people thought I'd lost my mind. They thought I'd lost my mind. Most people thought that. You know, he's just gone right over the edge. And by the grace of God, it worked through. Our words are powerful. I've told a story about what I used to call Dave, you know, my little warthog, you know. And I don't know if you've ever seen one, but they're covered with icky things. And those icky things started to appear on him. And I never made the connection initially. And so he started to get these things, and I would pray for him, and nothing would happen. And that went on for quite a long time. And he asked if he could put that, I keep calling it WD, it's not WD-4, what is it?
Compound W.
And I think my pride said, no, we're going to pray these off, you know. But more kept showing up. So I finally made a deal with him that he'd give me one more week to really pray, and if they were still there, then we'd do that. And so I prayed my heart out that week, and nothing happened. He kept getting worse. And I just finally asked God, isn't that stupid? You know? I mean, I don't know how long it went, but it was months probably, and I finally asked God, and he said to me, it's your fault. And I said, my fault? I don't have them, God. He does, you know. Get with the program here. And he said to me, you put a curse on him. And I said, that's absurd. You know, that's absurd. I would never put a curse on my son. Never. Well, he said, you didn't mean to, but you still did it. So I said, okay, what am I going to do? He said, you're going to repent to me, to him, and then you're going to pray and break it. So I did. I repented to God and went, repented to Dave. I prayed for him, broke it. By the next day, everything was gone. You know, on top of weird, that was weird. That was really weird to see that happen. But there's power in the words we speak. There's power in it. So it is so important that we take the word of God seriously, really seriously. So what I want to do this morning, for anyone who has a healing need of any kind, physical, emotional, mental, or another need, and I lay hands on you, and that will be my part. Your part will be to believe. Believe you receive, and you will have it. Believe you receive. How do you do that? Get a scripture. Always have a scripture. I learned this from Kenneth Hagin, that when you have a need, it's not always the best thing to rush out and pray. Sit and meditate on the scripture that applies to that. Ask God for wisdom, because there may be a strategy. You know, I prayed for Dave for weeks and nothing happened. There was a strategy that had to happen. A strategy. And then pray. Then pray. Amen? Okay, so...